Hey, everybody, it's Rick. I want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. This week, we're going to pick up in Philippians. And so, you know, if you've listened to the podcast over the last multiple weeks, you know that we did chapter one. And then we did, you know, we took a break, then we did chapter two, and then we took a little bit of break. I've done a couple interviews. And so now we're going to jump back into chapter three, and I think this will take us 3 or 4 weeks to get through. It's a small chapter, but there's some very, there's just some very rich things in this chapter that we got to talk about. And as we start, you know, what may seem like an easy question to answer, it might not be. And so we have to ask these hard questions sometimes. And so the question that we need to kind of think through today is, what does it mean to be a true believer? What does it mean to truly follow Christ? And if we look throughout history, we're going to see many different religions. You know, we see tons of them that have all been convinced they are the true believers of God. You know, if you're Jewish, you think that God, the God that you worship, is the one true God, and you are worshiping him correctly. And if you're Mormon, you believe that you worship the way God calls you to. And if you're a Muslim, you believe that Allah is the one true God. And then, you know, we have Christians who, of course, we are all convinced that we worship the God the right way. But even among Christians, there are many different denominations, and each is, you know, each one has a certain approach. And frankly, this is probably the reason that, you know, non-believers have such a difficult time. They have a difficult time determining, what are they supposed to do? Who are they supposed to follow? Because even among Christians, there's so many denominations and differences. So who is right? Are you right if you follow some strict theology? Are you right if you follow the Holy Spirit? What if you're strict when it relates to morality, or if you believe that a person's conduct makes no difference at all? What about the groups that the Bible that say the Bible by itself teaches salvation, and it sets the standard by God? Or there are those who say that the Bible has to be supplemented, and that may be by, you know, tradition, or it could be by some new gospels like the Mormon religion claims, right? They have the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrine and Covenants and all these different things that they've added. So how do we determine who the true believers are? So we're going to start. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, right? We'll just do three simple verses. And so we'll just jump in. And so Philippians chapter 3, verses 1, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." So when we talk about true believers, we have to remember that Paul, you know, Paul was religious before he was saved. You know, Paul was Saul. He was a Pharisee, but his religion couldn't save him. He actually had to lose his religion in order to find life, right? To find eternal life. And so he begins this chapter by warning the believers against a religion apart from Christ. You know, the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. But here, Paul uses that term dogs to describe the Jewish teachers. The Jewish teachers who emphasize that, you know, circumcision and keeping the law and all of these things that they emphasize that weren't of Christ, right? So we realize that true worship is in the Spirit. True worship's in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It honors Jesus. It does not honor the religious leaders. It depends on God's grace, not on the flesh, not on anything in the world today, but it honors Jesus. How much of what passes for the Christian faith in this world today is really only like a fleshly you know, worldly religion. I've already listed several. But, you know, we really have to focus on those that are not true to the teachings of Christ. That's the important thing. So, to really understand what Paul is saying here, we do need to go back a little into the life of the early church, right? The first believers in Jesus, they were Jews. And as loyal Jews, they saw the law as important. It was a vital importance, and it emphasized the covenant that Israel had made with God. You know, one of those signs was circumcision, one of those covenants, right? And the first believers were sent out with a world mission, right? In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But it was hard for them to reach the non-Jews. And it was really some time before a true mission, right, a true ministry to the Gentiles began. You know, Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Right? Paul believed that if non-Jewish people turned to the Lord in repentance and faith, that they were also going to be accepted as members of God's people. And that was without the necessity of their laws or their becoming Jewish or the males being circumcised. It didn't matter. Right? He believed that as long as you repented and had faith, you were God's people. You see, true believers have a distinctive worship. They worship God in the Spirit. And through that worship of the Spirit, the agency of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Jews were very proud of their rituals. But now, this was kind of a different approach. It was a spiritual approach to worship God, right? They didn't have to have these rituals. They didn't have to have, you know, these sacrifices or whatever the rituals were then. And Jesus, you know, in John 4:23-24, Jesus kind of, he confirms it, right? He says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." So, because God is Spirit, that means he is not bound. He's not bound to anything, and he can be worshipped in truth because of the Holy Spirit. And by the help of that Spirit, he can be worshipped anywhere and anytime in many, many ways. So it's important for us to recognize, right, that we can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Anywhere, at any time. Driving down the road, doesn't matter. You want to be with the Spirit? You can. And then you got to remember that true believers have joy. You know, I think everybody should know that I generally use the NIV translation of the Bible, but sometimes a different translation will speak a little bit more for the message that needs to be conveyed. And this really is true when we look at Philippians 3:3. The second part of that verse mentions those who rejoice in Christ Jesus. Joy is one of those distinctive marks of a Christian. We rejoice in Jesus Christ because of the work he has done. Christ performed the work. He performed the work of grace in our lives. That's what makes us new because of Christ. There is joy in knowing that Christ did this. And the life that we have in him provides joy. We rejoice in Jesus because his presence is with us through the Spirit. Jesus promises to be with us. He promises this, that he will be with us to the end of the world. And he always makes good on his promises. Jesus is our constant companion. That gives us joy. And then we also have to remember that a true believer has a definite faith. You see, Paul spoke of believers as those who have no confidence in the flesh. So in this context, the flesh is basically equal to yourself, itself. No confidence in self. You see, God's people have confidence that is not rooted in themselves, but it is rooted in God. The faith that we have for salvation rests in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Scripture is clear. And it says in, you know, in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I mean, that's clear, right? All have sinned and all fall short. But that is the reason that we have faith. That is why we need Christ. So, as you see, true believers reveal their faith through their joyful lives, through worshiping God. And not just worshiping God, but worshiping God in truth and in the Spirit. It's important to recognize that. So if you want joy in your life, you know where to find it. You know what Jesus tells us to do. We have a roadmap. If you don't know where that roadmap is, you need to read your Bible. You need to pick it up every day and you need to read it because it is a roadmap for life. And a true believer follows the map. Again, this is Rick and the Nomad Pastor Podcast, and I just want to say thanks for listening. You know, I think it's important that we continue this journey together, and I'm grateful that you listen, and I'm grateful for any feedback that you could give me, right? If you want to send me a message, shoot me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. You know, go to my website, nomadpastor.org. There's a little contact me section. You can just fill it out and send me a note. It'll get to me. If you like this podcast, share it with your friends, you know, put it, it's on every podcast platform, I think, you know, Google, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, it's everywhere. And just let people know about it. And if you can, give me a good thumbs up rating, you know, a little 5 stars, and I'd appreciate it. I hope you all have a blessed week. Thanks.